In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have to admit, sometimes I wonder about the ways of the Lord. I wonder about the ways of the Lord. It seems like it would be easier for everybody if the Lord would simply appear visibly and speak audibly in all of the places he wants to be. Then we could hear him as the disciples heard him. We could see him as the disciples saw him. And maybe many more people would then believe him and follow him and find their peace in him. If they could just see him as the disciples saw him and hear him as the disciples heard him. But that's not what the Lord does. He sends out messengers. He sends out messengers to Samaritan villages. He sends out messengers, 72 of them, six times the number of his original apostles. He sends out 72 to all of the places where he himself is about to go. He gives them instructions about what they are to do and instructions about what they are to say. Now later, before his betrayal and crucifixion, he gives different instructions to his disciples. He says, remember when I told you not to take a knapsack and not to take a money bag and not to take extra sandals? You didn't lack anything, did you? They say, no. He says, well, now you better take a money bag. And now you better take a knapsack. And now, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. Because Jesus says, I am about to be numbered with the transgressors and considered the enemy. Here, he gives them instructions to go out and to speak to the people and to tell them his word. But if you read the rest of the Gospel of Luke, I looked to see if where these people had gone and where then Jesus had gone, but we're not told. We're just told that they went everywhere where Jesus himself was about to go. But Jesus didn't necessarily go physically to all of these places where they went. He is on his way to Jerusalem, remember? He set his face toward Jerusalem, and he's going there to fulfill the kingdom of God that they're about to proclaim, to conquer sin, death, and the devil, which they are proclaiming. So Jesus goes to those places in the same way that he always goes, even when he is present physically, visibly, audibly, he goes by his word. And we might think that it would be easier, we might think that it would be more impressive and more believable if we could see Jesus in the flesh like they saw him. If we could hear Jesus in his own voice, whatever that sounded like, then we might believe him better. But the fact is that many people didn't believe Jesus when he was standing there right in front of them. Many people rejected him. People called for his crucifixion. People went away from him. Even the large crowds that followed Jesus, not everybody believed him among those crowds. Some of them were just there to see a show, see a miracle, to get fed. Some of them were just there for other things, to hear and see other things than what Jesus was giving them. Jesus sends out these messengers, and I wonder why. Why does Jesus send sinful men to proclaim his message? Wouldn't it be better if he just did it himself? He doesn't, because he doesn't want us to trust the messenger. He wants us to trust the message. He doesn't want us to hear the individuals. He wants us to hear his words. He wants us to trust above all his word, which is the only word that saves, the only word that forgives, the only word that will sustain our faith now and forever. It's Jesus' words. So Jesus sends them out, and he sends them out with promises, both for those who hear and for those who are speaking. He sends promises with them. He says, when you go to a house, speak peace to the house. Peace to all those who are dwelling in this house. It's the same peace that Jesus gives after he's risen from the dead, when he appears to the disciples and he says, peace to you. It's not really their peace. It's Jesus' peace. The peace that surpasses, as Paul says, all understanding. That's the peace that Jesus gives to those messengers to give to people. That peace is what Jesus gives. Jesus says, tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. And he means that he has come near because he is the king. He's the one who is gaining this world by his suffering, death, and resurrection for God. He's the one gaining a people over whom he is going to reign. He is the one who is doing the reigning in this kingdom. It's his kingdom. That's the kingdom that has come near to them, that has come near to you and to me. And then he reminds the messengers that it's not about them. The people ought to hear Jesus' words and hear Jesus' peace and hear of Jesus' kingdom, which includes healing of body and soul. But the messengers ought not to think that it's really about them. So they come back and they're rejoicing. They say, even the demons are subject to us. We speak your word in your name, and the demons, they have to go away. Jesus says, that's good. I've given you authority over unclean spirits. But don't rejoice in that. Don't put your trust in that or your hope in that the demons are subject to you. They're subject to you because I have given you authority. Instead, rejoice that your names are written in heaven, that they are kept with God in Jesus Christ. Rejoice in that I have chosen you and keep you by my word. And he gives them another promise, another reminder, both to the people who are going to hear them and to them as the messengers. He says, the one who hears you doesn't actually hear you and shouldn't hear you. The one who hears you hears me, Jesus says, because they're my words. And the one who doesn't hear you, who doesn't receive you, who rejects you, doesn't reject you because they're not your words, but rejects me, Jesus says. And the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. It's a promise attached not to the messenger, but to the message. A promise attached not to the one who brings the word, but to the word. Not the words of the messenger, but the words of Jesus. Now, regular human words, you know and I know that regular human words rise and fall with the one who is speaking them. Regular human words, we trust them or don't trust them based on the one who's speaking. How much do we trust that person? Then we'll put some stock into their words or not. But the words of Jesus do not rise and fall with sinful, failing, flawed humans. They rise and fall with him. They fall into the ground as he dies, and they rise from the dead when he rises from the dead. And now he is risen and lives and reigns to all eternity. So the two questions are not, what do I think about this guy? I don't want to know. But what do I think about Jesus? Are these Jesus' words? And is Jesus risen from the dead? Those are the questions. Are these Jesus' words, and is Jesus risen from the dead? Because if Jesus is risen from the dead, and these are Jesus' words, then he is here. And he is speaking. And when he speaks, also the Spirit of God is present. As he says in John 3, the voice of the Spirit goes out where and when he wills. And everyone hearing the voice of the Spirit, that one will be born again by water and the Spirit, entering into this kingdom of God. And where the Son and the Spirit are, the Father must be the one who sent the Son. So where Jesus' words are, the triune God is present, doing his work, speaking his words to us, for us, to you, and for you. And that's a word that you can trust. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, you can trust that when he speaks, he does what he says. And he says what he does. It doesn't depend on the messenger. If it did, we would all be in trouble. It depends only on Jesus. And he gives us this promise so that we can look at his words and we can say, these are Jesus' words. They've been written down for us by the apostles and the prophets, given by Jesus to his own apostles to send out to the ends of the earth. These are Jesus' words, so I can trust him regardless of the person who brings them. These are Jesus' words, and so they give me life. They sustain me. They refresh me in body and soul. They nourish me. They feed me, because they're Jesus' words. Thank God that they're Jesus' words, so that we can trust them, we can know them, we can learn to hear his voice. Thank God that he gives us these promises. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.